happy Tuesday. I am joined this week by another incredible guest, a dear friend of mine and someone who I admire greatly. We have had him on the show before. We're going to be talking an extension of the role of a bank CEO. So with me today, I have Javier Rodriguez Soler, who is BBVA's USA president and CEO. Javier, so nice to see you again. Thanks for being here.
So nice to see you again, Scarlett.
Looking forward to this conversation. So, you know, I was sitting here and thinking about what's happened in the first half of 2020. You know, you and I spoke back in November when we were at NASA, and I really thought it'd be super interesting to get your perspective. There's been a lot of unforeseen situations happening around the globe, and you're still fairly new to your tenure as BBVA USA CEO. So as you look back, it's been about a year and a half now as CEO. What stands out most to you?
Well, it's been so, the change has been so dramatic in the last few months that probably I need to separate between the two moments. In first year and a few months, it was about learning about my team, the market, the operations here. As you know, I have been in BBVA Group for 12 years already, and I knew the US operations from my M&A and strategy role. But once I landed, I needed to get into the details. And as I said, understanding deeply what was going on and how we could improve. I was fortunate enough to have a great team that helped me to devise a strategic plan, a five-year strategic plan that is more live now than ever. And then the situation changed so dramatically in mid-March when the COVID-19 pandemic erupted, and things were so different all of a sudden for all of us. And as I said, I had been fortunate enough to be ready with the best moments in terms of liquidity, capital, supervisory relationships, profitability, and team. So once this situation started, I felt very much prepared for what was coming.
That's fantastic. And, you know, not all CEOs are as lucky, and everyone had a different way to react. And it was certainly impressive to see the way that you and the team handled the situation and really kind of tailored towards your customers and made sure that they were front and center. So can you tell me a little bit more about this plan? I know it's part of your BBVA's global strategy. You're really looking at the US. Tell me more about the plan you launched. Really, what is the goal and US moving forward?
Well, the plan was a thing with what was devised and designed with a long-term perspective. We were aware that we were going to live through cycles. We didn't know that we were going to enter a cycle as dramatic as the one we're entering. But when we devised the plan, we were very clear that it needed to be cycle agnostic and to be resilient to any situation. And what has happened is that many of the aspects of the strategic plan that we thought were going to take years have accelerated enormously in the current situation. So there are two aspects. It consists of six pillars, but there are two aspects that I want to highlight to you, Scarlett, which are very relevant and have become so prevalent and so much at the forefront of our priorities. In our plan, we defined the need to help our clients with their financial health. So I cannot think about something more timely now than about talking about the health, financial health of our clients. Think about individuals, SMEs, big corporates, how we are going to need to go with them in their journey to navigate these troubling waters with their financial health. So that was something which was already at the forefront of our strategic plan. And as you may guess, all the KPIs that we had designed to follow now have accelerated in how we're being able to deliver that. And the second was to help our clients transition towards a sustainable future. Sustainable in the sense of social sustainability, environmental sustainability, and governance sustainability. Again, once the situation changed so dramatically with the COVID-19 pandemic, we realized that we need to help our clients go through the recovery phase that hopefully we are entering into in a sustainable way. So we want to become, out of this crisis, much stronger and much more sustainable. And we want our clients to be in the same situation.
I think it's really smart to go in from the beginning from a cycle agnostic mindset. So, you know, you highlighted two of the pillars that are certainly applicable now in financial wellness and sustainability. How do you think that what has happened in the world with the global pandemic has impacted the plan overall? Do you think that it's kind of accelerated these two key points that you talked about? How has it impacted your overall all plan? Because being cycle agnostic is great, but this, I don't think anyone could have fully predicted what we're really seeing right now. So how has that impacted what you guys have been doing?
Yeah, well, the main impact is, let's face it, of course, as I commented, we were fortunate that we needed to start the situation with a very strong liquidity and very strong capital and at a historically high level of the relationship with our supervisors, which is, as you know, so critical for banks. So now, moving forward, all banks are going to face a challenge in profitability, mainly due to two aspects. Number one is interest rates at very low levels make the banking profitability more challenging. That's very obvious. And number two, the provisioning of bad credit, it's been necessary and it'll be necessary still for a few quarters. Unfortunately, some of our clients won't be able to meet their obligations and will face some non-performing loans and unfortunately some net charge-offs. So we need to help our clients navigate through this situation when they cannot pay us back. In the very first months of the pandemic, we've helped them with deferrals, mortgages, corporate loans, and credit cards, and express personal loans. We've helped them with deferrals, but a few months from now, we'll see what happens if the situation, if the economic situation has kept deteriorating. Many of them will need additional help and advice to go through this. So again, our profitability will suffer in the year 2020 for sure, and eventually a bit in the beginning of 2021. But with the resilience that we will show with capital, liquidity, and relationship with supervisors, we'll be able to overcome the difficulties and become stronger and much more profitable even than we were.
I appreciate that. That was a great answer. So the other thing, and we've talked about this a lot on Tech Tuesday, is how one of the other things that has been in response to this post-pandemic world is the shift from digital being a nice to have to a must have. And digital is extremely relevant in banking. So what role do you still see, or do you see a role for brick and mortar? How is that role evolving post-pandemic?
Well, first of all, digital, and then about brick and mortar, which are so much complementary. As you know, Scarlett, because you were here with us, we had been investing for more than a decade, much more than our competitors in technology and in digital. Specifically in the US was the market which clearly we invested, I would say, disproportionately versus our competitors. Many in the industry thought that we were investing proportionally too much for our size. And now these investments are obviously paying back very, very fast. Everybody now is trying to move to digital much faster and to catch up. We were fortunate to have the best mobile banking app in the US banking industry. We had all our colleagues that were already in the culture of moving our clients to digital, both in commercial and in retail activities. So once the situation changed so fast, we had been one of the fastest adapting to the new reality, which everything has become much more remote and will stay much more remote for long. But what happened with brick and mortar? Well, brick and mortar, and I would say human interaction, is as critical as ever. Again, to help our clients with their financial health and to help them transition to a more sustainable future, they need the human interaction. Be it physical or at a distance, they need to feel and know that they have a human at the other side of the line. So, of course, digital channels and digital capabilities allow us to interact with our clients in a much faster way. When they have very simple transactions, they don't need sophisticated advice. They can do everything online. But then when you need an advice, when you are getting a mortgage or a relevant corporate credit or what type of credit card fits better your needs, there having a human behind you, giving you the proper advice, it's going to be still very relevant. That's what makes still banks better than pure technology companies in serving the financial needs, because this is a business about humans serving humans, And of course, with the help of technology, as I said, we had been strong believers, stronger than anyone else, on the relevant role that technology plays in interaction among humans, but there need to be people and physical presence in order to have 100% the 100% of the needs of the clients properly served.
No, I absolutely agree. And I think, and one of the reasons is in our industry, money is something, whether you're a small business, a big corporation, but definitely the small businesses and the end consumers, that's very personal. So that human to human interaction and that relationship is crucial in any type of connection with a financial institution. So I'm certainly a big believer in that. Well, Javier, thank you so much. Really appreciate you taking the time. Thanks for the update. For all of you, thank you for tuning in. You can see updates from Javier as well below in our Q&A. There's been a lot that's happened in the last 6 months, so certainly tune into that. Appreciate your perspectives. If you have any questions for myself or Javier, please go ahead and list them in the comments below. We look forward to hearing from you. Again, Javier, thank you so much. I look forward to seeing what the rest of this year looks like and next year for you. And as always, very honored to be associated with you and excited for what comes next.
Thank you very much, Scarlett. Thank you.
Thank you.